Father, we pray that this time we would just be able to hear your voice as we consider this call to arise as the winter ends. In Jesus' name, amen. The winter is over. I don't know if you know what is the most watched trailer for a film of all time. 124 million views in the first 24 hours. Frozen 2, you know, of course, with its key phrases. Anyone seen Frozen 2? Anyone intending to see it? Well, you're far too highbrow, obviously. It's got these amazing phrases. Into the unknown, are you out there? Do you know me? Can you show me? How do I follow you into the unknown? And J.R.R. Tolkien used to say, fairy stories, they are not true, but they contain splintered light of truth, and often that's why they move us deeply. But of course they aren't true. We rightly don't believe them. Another story this week, according to the papers, the child actress Shirley Temple stopped believing in Father Christmas when I was six. My mother took me to see him in a department store and he asked me for my autograph. You know, there are four ages of Christmas. The first age is you do believe in Father Christmas. The next age is you don't believe in Father Christmas. The third age is you are Father Christmas. And the fourth is you think you're Father Christmas. Anyway, tonight, I want to ask, can we believe in the story, the heart of human history, is this entrance of a baby into our world. Can we believe it? We heard from Ard, who was leading prayer. He's the professor of theoretical physics at Oxford University, the Dutch-accented person who was leading prayer, telling us all these billions of galaxies in creation. And this compression of the creator of all into a tiny baby, can we believe it? That's the question. Could we believe it and hear his voice which says, my darling, arise, the winter's over, come with me and start afresh. So at the heart of Christmas is the story of God leaping into the world over barriers. This is the central, at the heart of the book of books, the Bible, is the Song of Songs. And the Song of Songs describes this as my beloved leaping over all the barriers into the world and the frozen existence being over. God who made the world and everything in it comes in. And that's the first thing I want to say tonight, that he leaps into our world, and here's someone leaping on the screen in front of us into this world. And winter, frozen existences warming up and becoming beautiful. He's leaping over into this world. And what does he leap over? I believe he leaps over the huge chasm between God and humankind into the world. It's like a jump. He leaps over the hill of the Roman Empire's indifference, complete indifference to what was happening, and the danger of a census where all the world was to be taxed and Mary and Joseph had to travel a long way with great difficulty and such indifference as they couldn't find anywhere to stay except in a stable. He leaps over the mountain of the Jewish authorities, not only indifference, but in the end, hatred. Of course, Jesus was Jewish, all his disciples were Jewish, but the Jewish authorities, Herod, searched for him and attempted infanticide and murder. And God leaps over that risk, and he leaps over a lot of things today to come into people's lives. The early church father, Origen, writing in the 3rd century, says this: "Why does he say, 'Arise, my beloved? For you I have endured the raging storms. I've borne with the waves that would have assailed you. On your account I became sorrowful even unto death. I rose from the dead after drawing the sting of death and loosing the bonds of hell. Therefore, I say to you, arise, my fair one, and come away, my dove. For the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. I've risen from the dead. I've rebuked the storm. I've offered peace. And because I was born of a virgin and of the will of my father, and because I've increased in wisdom and stature, flowers appear on the earth." Let me just make a bridge today into our world and talk about jumping over the mountain of atheism or agnosticism. Someone, a girl from one of our universities, stood here and said this at her baptism. This is what she said: "I grew up knowing practically nothing about Jesus. I spent all my time working hard. As far as I was concerned, Christianity and religion in general was sexist, irrelevant, unnecessary, intolerant, illogical, and scientifically impossible. I wasn't interested because I didn't need any God. I had everything I wanted," said a girl called Jess on the day of her baptism. Something had happened where God, the Holy Spirit, jumped into her life, probably through friends. He leaps over the mountains of addictions today. Today we're giving away a free journal called Broken and Blessed. You can get one in the entrance. And there you'll find this story. "As a drug addict, I felt I had two lives, one shrouded in secrecy and lies, and another that looked I was thriving and successful. But with an ever-increasing feeling of darkness and being lost, I began to become ashamed of and despairing of my actions and their consequences on those around me. Then my sister Sarah started to pray for me and talk to me about Jesus. One unforgettable day, as a result, I had extraordinary manifestations of what I now believe was the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, and the experience of what I would now call deliverance in a pretty intense time. All I can say is God overwhelmed me and knocked me over, really. I got up and went into the garden. Everything looked so beautiful. I stared across the field and looked at the plants. It was winter, but it all looked so alive and fresh and colorful. It was as if I was literally looking at the world with new eyes. My world before this was flat and black and white, and now it was sharp, focused, full of shades and hues I'd never noticed before. And when my sisters came in and met me, they said, 'We've got our brother back.'" 18 years later, the writer of that now works amongst the homeless of Oxford, the vulnerably housed, people coming out of prison, meeting them at the gate, housing people with mental accommodation. And he says that the power of addiction was broken. My brain, which I'd fried over the years with the misuse of drugs and alcohol, started to function again. So he leaps over these mountains, and I dare say he's leaping over mountains and hills tonight into your soul and saying, "My darling, get up and come away with me because the winter's over." We're in a very deep winter in our culture and in our global culture as we speak. We are in the throes of a divisive and combative moment of paralysis in our nation, and I dare say we need his intervention. So at the end of this talk, in a minute, I'm going to say, would you say yes to that desire that he has to come into our life? But before I do that, I just want to say, who is it that we're inviting? And here's a picture of a prophet, the prophet Isaiah, who dreamt a dream about a child. The spoken word talked about it. Unto us a son is given, to us a child is born. Unto us a son is born, to us a child is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And this, we believe, is the one who compressed himself into human nature and was born. And here's some... Jesus didn't have an Instagram account. Unfortunately, fortunately, we sometimes chat in our stuff. Would he have had one if he could have done? Probably not. But anyway, people took photographs of him, or at least painted pictures of him. And here are a few of them and what he did. This is him as a baby, as a little child. You can see him just in the middle of the picture. He is giving wonderful counsel to the elders of the land. How our leaders need a whole new generation of counsel today. Here he is speaking to a broken woman at a well. Jews couldn't talk to Samaritans. She was a Samaritan. Rabbis certainly couldn't talk to women. She was a woman. And she had a broken past sexually of addictions and sadness. And he spoke through the mountains of that to get to her. In a sense, we are all that broken woman. In our leadership team, there are men and women just like her, into whose life he has come with his wonderful counsel. What is his wonderful counsel? Seek first the kingdom of God. All these other things will be added to you. Many people live in a bland and out of focus existence, but he comes with his wonderful counsel to sharpen and give completely new life. He is the mighty God. This is William Blake's famous, often repainted picture of the Ancient of Days. In the reading from John's Gospel we're about to hear, we read that without him was nothing made that has been made, and in him was life, and that life was the light of humankind. And God is leaning out from the sphere of light, which is his home, to begin to measure out creation. It's a dense vision of hope and justice, the extended compass, not just setting boundaries, but perhaps checking if the world is fulfilling its potential, if you and I are arising and coming up and getting into our destiny. The mighty God. He is the one who calms the storms. And in this room, there will be storms. I am in a storm. As I speak to you, my dearest female friend, apart from Anita, was killed in a terrible car accident in South Africa 6 weeks ago tomorrow. And there is a storm in my family, and I know there are storms in families in this room. He is the mighty God. He can calm the storms as we ask him to get into our boat. He's the everlasting Father. This must be one of the most reproduced pictures and commented on of all paintings ever painted, Rembrandt's Return of the Prodigal Son, hanging in St. Petersburg. Its depiction of merciful, tender, rejoicing love is unequaled. The father reaches down to a filthy and disgraced son, not caring what state he's in so long as he's safely home. The son has lost all dignity, but he and we can come to this everlasting father, which is contained within the person of Jesus Christ. There's a third face in the picture, which is the older brother watching, who the father loves too, but who will complain about all the fuss. Maybe people will complain about all the fuss tonight, I don't know, I doubt it, but maybe. Maybe you are a hard-working older brother or sister, keeping the family together at Christmas, perhaps. But you're also invited to experience the hug of the everlasting Father and the end of winter. He's the Prince of Peace. Here is a woman taken in adultery. Again, a broken woman. But look at the men, the faces of anger directed against her, the misogyny perhaps that is present in our city even. Jesus is unperturbed as he brings peace to the woman's troubled life and heart. And just leaping over into a few years ago, here's a story of that was in one of our journals. I first came across St. Aldent's when looking for an Alpha course. I'll always remember those days as the turning point in my life. The truth is that my life was very dark, twisted, and deluded back then. I was living in the aftermath of being a wild partier and cohabiting with my boyfriend. I worked in a restaurant and lived from paycheck to paycheck, not planning for the future at all. I'll always remember walking through the entrance of St. Aldate's, feeling intimidated by the grand church building, but being wrapped in a feeling of peace. It's this feeling of peace that kept me coming back. I was addicted to the effortless high I got from being in church. And then she says, after going to St. Aldate's for a few months, feeling convicted by the Holy Spirit about living with my boyfriend, I explained the dilemma. I was helped to move out. Later on, this girl became one of our interns in this church. Her life was swung around on a hinge, just like this woman, to whom Jesus gave wonderful counsel. Go and sin no more. The Prince of Peace. God is leaping into our lives today. Christmas is a time for springtime, but this is not what many people experience. Christmas for many is spelt debt. 50% of a recent survey went into debt at Christmas and used the next month to pay it on. Oh, for many people, actually, Christmas is spelt divorce. And we all know that. Thank you, Terry. We know that lawyers have their most seriously hard-working season, divorce lawyers, that is. And for some people, Boxing Day, some families, is literally that, very sadly. And for many, the word Christmas is spelt depression. And we are living in an epidemic of depression in our universities and in our culture. And we are aware. I have a discretionary fund that I used to pay for people's electricity bills from, but now I often pay for their counseling. And Christ can come into our sorrows, our winter. Our sadness can stretch so that in this way, joy can be hidden in sorrows. So this is the one who comes. And I want to just conclude, really, by saying he comes very tenderly. He comes and calls us darling. And British people hate that. You know, that's way too close up and personal, isn't it? Alan Bennett, writing on the English, said, the English are conceived in irony. It's the amniotic fluid. They float in it from the womb. Joking but not joking. Serious but not serious. Caring but not caring is the essence of Englishness. But God is not an Englishman. And he kind of walks down into the world. I'm going to borrow John, what's his second name?
Daniel.
John Daniel, if I may. He is a darling. You are a darling. And I think we can say that God became a darling baby. A beloved baby, a sleeping baby, a vulnerable baby, so that he can call you his darling. And he will come to you and say, my darling, stand up, come with me. I'm looking through the window, I'm looking through the lattice. He will bring fruitfulness and destiny. It says in this scripture from the Song of Songs, the fig tree forms its early fruit. You become a person with the glory of God on you as you stand up and go with the call of Christ. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like he called people to stand up and follow him in Galilee, he does it tonight. He removes bad smells. He's not smelly, but the Bible says some of us are, you know, our life is just malodorous. And it says the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. So he brings a fragrance to your life. Coco Chanel said, a woman who doesn't wear perfume has no future. Maybe he wants to give men fragrance of the character of Christ. He became a darling so he can call you his darling. And in a minute, I'm going to lead a prayer where you can respond and say, yes. It's a simple prayer. Everything begins in prayer, which is just talking to our beloved who leaps over the mountains of difficulty to address us. So as we sit, let's just pray. I invite you to pray. And this is the appeal that the Lord Jesus makes. Arise, my dear one, and come with me. And if you're wanting just to say yes, here's a prayer you can pray in the quiet of your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you leapt over mountains of difficulty to come into this world, and you're leaping over mountains into my mind and my heart by your Holy Spirit tonight. And tonight I want to say, I'm sorry for being deaf to your call in the past or for keeping you away, but tonight I invite you to come into my life. I say yes. I want to arise. I want to ask you to come as my Savior to cleanse me, as my friend to be with me, and as my Lord to say to me, come away, my darling, and end my winter. And that there might be flowers and fragrance, fruitfulness. So I say yes tonight. Help me to live a new life in Jesus' name. Amen.